Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5. Nehemiah, chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Nehemiah, chapter 5. If you go to the book of Psalms and go back about 50 pages, you'll find it. Nehemiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, "We, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live." Some also there were that said, "We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth." There were also that said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." And I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? "Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, 'Ye exact usury, every one his brother,' and I set a great assembly against them." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, you seem to have hovered upon this place. Lord, I pray once again that you would anoint our preacher with your power. Lord, so many hundreds of people here, so many different needs and so many different burdens, and yet one Lord to take care of all of them. Father, please use the man of God in a special way tonight. Meet those needs in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, the sermon title is Become Your Own Best Friend. Become your own best friend. I wish so much that some of the leaders of the church would especially listen to me tonight. You've got to become your own best friend. You know, you can be your own best friend, or you can be your own worst enemy. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to take charge of your life. Become a true spiritual friend to yourself. Quit betraying yourself. Quit lying to yourself. Quit babying yourself. Quit mishandling and misdirecting yourself. Practice some real friendship in your own personal life. You know, you will not be a true spiritual friend to others until you have become a true spiritual friend to yourself. What is lacking in many of your friendships to others is the fact that you're not truly a friendship in a spiritual way to yourself. Now, let me give you the background to the story that you read just a moment ago with Brother Bush from Nehemiah chapter 5. The walls around the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. The prophet named Nehemiah would lead a group of people to restore and rebuild those walls. In the rebuilding process, greed had entered the ranks of the rebuilding. Some were being hurt due to the greed of others. Nehemiah, God's man, realizes that he must do something about the greed problem. It hits him. He thinks about it. And then Nehemiah makes an amazing statement in verse number 7. Nehemiah says, it says, "Then I consulted with myself." Then I consulted with myself. Now let me tell you, at this moment in Nehemiah's life, I'm sure he wished he had a friend of wisdom with which to consult about the decision that was before him. But Nehemiah was forced to consult with himself. And you'll find he was a true spiritual friend to himself. Notice, when he does consult with himself, that he spiritually helped himself and he didn't hurt himself. You see, he ends up fixing the greed problem, and he not only helps himself, but he helps everybody else involved. Nehemiah was a friend to himself. He consulted with himself, and himself, if you will, helped himself. And there are some of you, what you need to learn is to become a true spiritual friend to yourself. A real friend. Let me give you a couple things about friendship, if I could. The Bible teaches that a real friend gives godly counsel. It says in Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. I must counsel me right. If I'm going to counsel myself, and it doesn't matter how much I tell us we ought to seek counsel for somebody older or wiser or more capable, we still end up counseling ourselves. So if you're going to counsel yourself, at least counsel yourself right. Counsel yourself like you're a decent friend to yourself. A real friend will improve your attitude. A real friend will sharpen your spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That means this: if I am a real friend to me, I know how to sharpen my own spirit. I know how to encourage myself. I know how to get my spirit up when my spirit wants to be down. That is, if I'm a true spiritual friend to myself. Nehemiah consulted with himself, and he gave himself good advice, and that good advice helped him, and that good advice helped others. Some of you need to stop and realize you are hurting yourself when you need to become your own best friend. A real friend does not want you to have anything to do with gossip. A real friend's not going to gossip to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Hey, a real friend is going to protect me from gossip, and I'm going to protect a real friend from gossip. And some of you, I just wish you'd catch on to that. I wish you'd really believe that. But hey, listen, if I'm going to be a friend of myself, then I'm going to have the good common sense to say, I must protect myself from hearing gossip, and I must protect myself from speaking gossip. Why? Because it says that a whisperer separated chief friends. Oh, I could go on and on this evening giving you the truths from the Bible about what true friendship is. The whole purpose of the night, though, is I want you to become your own best friend. You need to become your own best friend. Now, let me make it easy, and it'll be practical, and you'll understand as the night progresses. Let me say this, number one, and the very first point is the most important point. If you don't get the first point, and if you won't practice the first point, you will not handle the rest of it right. If you don't get point number one, then you're not going to be your own best friend. You will not be. You will lead yourself astray. Point number one is the whole platform on which the rest of the sermon is built. Now, I will not give it adequate time. You're going to hear it. You'll know what I'm saying. But if you don't obey point number one, the rest of the sermon is basically wasted, and you will fail at becoming your own best friend. Number one, make sure that you are best friends with the Holy Spirit of God. Make sure you are best friends with the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says this: but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is sealed within the Christian. He lives within us. Now, the Holy Spirit of God, He knows the truth about you. And He knows the truth of God. And if you want to become a true spiritual friend to yourself, you need somebody that knows the truth about you and the truth about God to guide this friendship. And the one that will best guide your friendship with yourself is the Holy Spirit of God. We should surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. He never disagrees with the Word of God, so neither should you. He always agrees with the Word of God, so should you. You ought to go everywhere with the Holy Spirit of God. You ought to become best friends. everywhere you go, you should be with Him. The Holy Spirit will counsel you right. The Holy Spirit will improve your attitude. The Holy Spirit will lead you to stay away from gossip in hearing and stay away from negative in speaking. Go nowhere that He would not go. Go everywhere that He would have you to go. Make all decisions together as best friends. God intended for you to have as a best friend the Holy Spirit of God. That's why God said, when I saved you, I put Him inside you so you have Him 24/7. He's there with you 365 days a year from the moment that you're born again all the way to the day that the rapture comes or you die and you're called out of this earth. You have the Holy Spirit. Why? He is to be your best friend. And you will never be the right friend to yourself and to the Holy until the Holy Spirit of God has become your best friend. When a Christian ceases to be close to the Holy Spirit, they cease to be good for themselves.
Right.
You hear that? When you cease to be close to the Holy Spirit, when you stop submitting to the Holy Spirit, you're no longer good for yourself. You suddenly have become a danger to yourself. If you listen to yourself when you're not close to the Holy Spirit, you will lead you away from God. You will lead you down the wrong path. You will destroy you. You must stay close to the Holy Spirit of God all day long, every day, not just down at the church house, but at your house and in the outhouse. You're supposed to be close to the Holy Spirit of God. That's the way it is. And the only way that you will become your own best friend is that the Holy Spirit and you are best of friends. Now that's the most important point. If you don't get anything else that I've said to you tonight, you need to get that. Everything else is built upon you becoming best friends with the Holy Spirit of God. And He wants to be your best friend. He desires and longs for you to be His best friend. He is waiting for you to desire the same relationship. Now, from this point on, everything will be built upon that platform. Next, to become your own best friend, you need to choose what influences you.
That's right.
To become your own best friend, you need to choose what influences you. Now, remember, you must stay surrendered to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But now you've got to choose what influences you. You know, in a world full of commercials and advertisements and billboards, it's easy to let them influence your decision making. But you should not let them influence your decision making. You must choose what influences you. Do not let something that you have no control over determine what you buy. Do not let something that you don't know anything about determine what you will do. You become your own best friend and you decide what will influence your decision. You see, you have made the Holy Spirit your best friend. Now, you need to consciously decide what it is that will influence your life. That is, if you're going to become your own best friend. Next, to become your own best friend, you need to choose who influences you. You choose what influences you. How? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to choose who influences you. Oh, remember though, be sure you remain surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, He is your best friend. You go nowhere without Him. You make no decision without Him. You communicate with Him about everything. And now you are going to choose who influences you. You choose people to influence you who will help you to stay close to the Holy Spirit of God. You pick people to influence you that will keep you close to your best friend, the Holy Spirit, and you will become a true friend to yourself. You choose people to influence you who will help you to obey the Word of God, and you become a best friend to yourself. You choose people who will help you remain your own best friend through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to help you. You've got to choose, though. You must choose who influences you. Hey, many people have been destroyed by wrong choice of association. Peter warmed himself by the devil's fire. Jehoshaphat, who at one time was a good king, allowed himself to be associated with Ahab and Jezebel, and it cost him an awful lot. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah and started associating with the wrong people, and Lot became his own worst enemy.
That's
Abraham went down into Egypt and associated with worldly people, fathered an illegitimate child, and messed up his life. Why? Because he did not choose wisely who influenced him. Don't pick friends when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You be careful. You be careful. Hey, you ought to be looking, even in your human relationships, look for people who are consumed with God's will for their life. If they won't come to church, they're not consumed with God's will for their life. If they won't tell others about Jesus Christ, they're not consumed with the will of God for their life. And they're not. Stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. The only way you'll become your own best friend is that you and your best friend, the Holy Spirit, choose who influences you and chooses what influences you. Remember next. To become your own best friend, you need to choose what you do. The last point, I said, you need to choose who influences you. Now I say, you need to choose with the help of the Holy Spirit what you do with your life. You determine proper priorities. Don't let circumstances control your schedule. You control your schedule. Take control of your life. Some of you need to sit down. You need to make a list of your obligations. You need to number that list according to its importance in your life. Then you need to write by each thing an amount of time that it's going to take to do it. Then you do it in the order that you placed it, with the amount of time that you gave it, and take charge of your life. Don't waste your life. You need to take charge of your life. You become best friends with the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit, you work together. You choose what you're going to do. Then you list what needs to be done. You list the amount of time that you're going to give to doing it. And you will find you're becoming your own best friend. Some of you will start succeeding for the first time in your life. Plan your life. You ever heard someone say God has a plan for your life? And it was not to stumble through it all day long and hope to stumble into what you're supposed to do. No, you're to plan what you do. You do it on purpose. The people that don't plan their lives end up with a mess in their life. They end up places they should not be, with people they should not be with, doing things they should not do. Hey, you're at the wrong time, at the wrong place, with the wrong people, because you did not plan to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. You shouldn't have planned to go there in the first place. You should have planned to be somewhere else doing right. Most heartaches in life were caused by breaking God's order for things. Paul commended the church at Colossae for doing things in God's order. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, rejoicing and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Here, Paul commends that church and said, I see your order. 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 What happened? They had a plan. They planned to work. And they followed that plan. And Paul said, I notice your church is organized. I know it's not run off the seedy of britches. I notice that everything's in its place and everything has a place where it's supposed to be. Paul tells Titus some things that need put in order at a church in Crete. He says in Titus 1:5, "For this cause left I be in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting." He said, I see this church over here. It is organized. There is order. And Paul said, I want to commend you for that. And then he tells Titus, I left you at that church in Crete. It's unorganized. And some things need set in order. Order. Order in your life. What's God's divine order? You take, for instance, here's God's divine order. You get saved. You get baptized. You join the church. Then you qualify to take the Lord's Supper. That's God's order. Not to do it out of order. What's God's order? You love someone. You marry them. Then sex. Then children. That's God's order. You're not to do it out of order. You're not to do it out of order. You're not to do it out of order. What's God's order? God's order is you work. You get the money. And then you buy. That's God's order. What's God's order? You pay your tithe, you pay your debts, you get your needs, then you go to McDonald's and eat. Luxuries come last, not first. to be your own best friend, you and the Holy Spirit must bring order to your life. There are too many Christians that have lives of chaos because they have not made best friends with the Holy Spirit. They therefore have not began to organize their life in an organized fashion. You need to organize your private world. And you need to organize your public world. Say, well, why in the world would I want to do that? So God can get something out of your life. Instead of it being mass chaos all the time, running from emergency to emergency, that's not what God had in mind. So I said this to you. Number one, make sure that you're best friends with the Holy Spirit. I said number two, then you and the Holy Spirit, you choose what is going to influence you. Then you and the Holy Spirit choose who will influence you. Then you and the Holy Spirit determine what you will do. Next. To become your own best friend, then you choose when you will do what you ought to do. When you will do what you ought to do. Remember, stay close to the Holy Spirit. The moment you venture away from the Holy Spirit, you will venture away from God's plan for your life. You'll become your own worst enemy. You aren't helping yourself anymore. You're no longer your own best friend. The only way you can be your own best friend is if you are best friends with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you and the Holy Spirit, you've got to decide when you will do what the Holy Spirit led you to do. Not only should we choose what we do according to priority, but we should choose when each of these things are done. If you're going to do the important things of life, then you'll have to do them on purpose. You know, I have no one that gives me a list of responsibilities. Nobody gives me orders. Nobody writes down all the things that I'm to do with my day. I have no boss but God. So, you know what? Here on earth, I've created my own boss.
Amen.
So you know, your pastor he doesn't lollygag all day long. He doesn't play all the time. Now, there's a reason why something's happening at this church, and that's because this church is in order, and there's an awful lot of organization and planning that goes on. Matter of fact, we have enough of it. There are about 1,000 people that are wore out all the time.
Yes, sir.
You ever tried to delegate and give somebody something to keep them busy? You ought to try to keep 1,000 people busy. It's a task. I have no boss but God, but I've created an earthly boss. You say, well, what is it? It's called my schedule.
Yes, sir.
I schedule my life. God, I try to stay close to the Holy Spirit of God. God and I pick all the things together that needs to be done. Then I go back to the Holy Spirit of God and I say, now we've got to pick when we're going to do them. So I have a schedule book. Hey, I have this church schedule. I said, do you know I schedule the church 2 years at a time? I already know when the activities are and what most of them will be in 2008. I want that kind of leading. I want it planned. That God knows where we're going and I want to go along. You see, the Holy Spirit then can lead us. If you want to succeed and fulfill your potential, if you want to be your own best friend, not only do you need the Holy Spirit to help you pick what you ought to do, now you need the Holy Spirit to help you to know when you ought to do what you ought to do. To be your own best friend, you must require yourself to do certain things at certain times. I must make me do what needs to be done when it needs to be done.
Yes, sir.
If you'll do that, you'll become your own best friend. You'll begin to solve the problems of your life. You'll get some of the chaos out of your life. God will get something out of your life. You know, when a person organizes their life in order and they let the Holy Spirit lead them, let me tell you something. You'll suddenly find yourself accomplishing what you never thought you could accomplish before. You'll find something begins to happen. It's called becoming productive in life.
Yeah.
Let me go on. Now, to become your own best friend, you better choose what you read.
Yes, sir.
You choose what you read. Hey, but I'm going to tell you something. You better stay surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes,
when you choose what you're going to read, you better make sure that the Holy Spirit of God is your best friend when you're choosing what you read.
Yes.
Now, this is actually a part of number two in regard to who influences you. But reading is being influenced by the person on paper. When you read, whoever you're reading, they are influencing you.
Right.
You think what you read. You are what you think, and you do what you are. Let me say it again. You think what you read. You are what you think, and you do what you are. And some of you need to start paying far better attention to what you read. Choose your authors carefully. Do not look for a strawberry to eat in a septic tank. Stop reading the materials written by the Christ rejectors and the people that have no interest in God. The liberals. I read on purpose. I protect my mind. My mind is one of the most valuable tools that God has given me, and I am not going to waste it on the trash of the world. People say to me, "But Owens, I enjoy your preaching. I enjoy that it has a practicality, but a depth, and it has something new, refreshing in it." I'll tell you what, it is because I protect my mind. I don't waste my thinking, and I'm not going to waste my thinking. God gave me a mind, and I'm going to use that mind to do the things that God wants me to do. Read on purpose, not at random. And so, here's what I said. If you want to become your own best friend, most important thing, you be best friends with the Holy Spirit. And don't miss it. 24/7, 365 days a year. Then, you and the Holy Spirit choose what influences you. Then, you and the Holy Spirit choose who influences you. Then, you and the Holy Spirit choose what you do. Then, you and the Holy Spirit choose when you do it. Then, you and the Holy Spirit choose what you read. Then, you and the Holy Spirit choose what you see. You choose what you see. Stay best friends with the Holy Spirit. You and the Holy Spirit, you're going to make the decision of what your eyes are going to see. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 51 says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Some of you have hard hearts because of the trash that you let your eyes see. And this isn't in my sermon, but I'm going to say it because I think it needs to be said here. It's time for some of you to get off the internet. Stop looking at the filthy pictures and the trash that you're bringing into your home. You are ruining your heart. You don't love your wife like you're supposed to, and that comes from the heart. Why? Because of what's been happening with your eyes. Oh, but you need to become your own best friend. How am I going to become my own best friend? Me and the Holy Spirit together are going to choose on purpose what my eyes see. Job said this in Job 31:1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Job said, me and my eyes got together and we made some promises to each other. I didn't lie to my eyes, and my eyes didn't lie to me, and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, I've been controlling what I see. Hey, many people have hurt their success in life by the misuse of their eyes. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. Let me tell you something about that. Eve thought that the tree was good for food, but her eyes convinced her it was. I have sat down at a few meals in a few homes that looked real good, but you had to gag her down, baby. Then you had to ask God to forgive you for lying when they said, you like it? And you said, yeah. Say with me, man. Say amen. Eve saw that the tree was good. I'm going to tell you something. Eve, your eyes lied to you. We've been paying the price ever since. Eve had not become her own best friend. Her eyes deceived her. She took to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And mankind has suffered hell ever since. Because somebody wouldn't control what? Their eyes. Their eyes. Lot's wife, leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, couldn't control her eyes. She looked back and turned to a salt lick. World's largest salt lick. Call her Salt Lick Sally. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 12, the Bible says that David saw a woman bathing. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Joshua 7:21, it says that Achan saw among the spoils a garment. Because of it, he coveted. His family was destroyed. Achan's family was stoned to death because daddy couldn't control his eyes. He did not commit immorality. He didn't control his eyes. Oh, listen to me, my friend. You need to become best friends with the Holy Spirit of God, and you and the Holy Spirit decide what you will look at. If you glance at something you ought not be looking at, you glance away real quick. If you're going to be your own best friend, there are going to be times when you have to say to your eyes, no. You can't do that. To be your own best friend, decide with the Holy Spirit's help to control your eyes. Let me move on quickly. To become your own best friend, you need to choose your emotions.
Yes, sir.
You need to choose your emotions. Well, some of you, you're going to struggle with this, but I know it's true. Be sure that you remain best friends with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control your spirit.
Yes.
Some of you need to know yourself. You need to know what affects your emotions. Then you need to learn to properly control those things that affect your emotions. For instance, anger. The Bible says we are to be angry and sin not. Now, the Bible never says that we are not to be angry. It does not say that. It does say that we are to be slow to anger. You know what the Bible is telling us? There's a way for you to control your anger. Your spirit, when it's out of control, it's because you're out of touch with the Holy Spirit. If you will stay in touch with the Holy Spirit will help you to control your spirit, and you will not find yourself flying off the end of the handle all the time. You know, when I see, I'll call it an opportunity, when I see an opportunity coming my way and I'm just thinking, ugh, here it comes, let me tell you what I start doing immediately. I start saying, Holy Spirit of God, control me. Control me, control me. I'm going to punch him right in the mouth. In Christian love. In Christian love. Holy Spirit of God, control me. Holy Spirit of God, please. Please, Holy Spirit of God, I've got to respond properly. Holy Spirit of God, I submit my spirit to your spirit. And then you can control the emotion. You be sure. You check when your emotions are going crazy. So many times, it's when you're not close to the Holy Spirit of God. His Spirit will help your spirit. And so, I said, you and the Holy Spirit together, control your emotions. Next, become your own best friend, you need to choose your thoughts. You and the Holy Spirit become best friends. And together, you decide what you will allow in your brain and what you won't allow. You decide what you think about. Some of you need to schedule a little think time just to get your life organized. Most of us let the things around us determine what we think about. Hey, leaders, you cannot afford to let outside sources control your mind.
Yes, sir.
The leadership of a successful New Testament church has got to stop daydreaming and playing with their mind, and they need to start using it at full capacity. You know something? You know what you're looking at? I'm a dumb old country boy. I grew up a block away from the stockyards, spent most of my time riding my bicycle in the cornfields. But I decided that God gave me a mind, and I'm not wasting that mind. And I decided that I could decide what I am to think about. And I do a lot of blocking out of a lot of trash. I say to myself, don't think about that. I say to myself, you've got to lock in. I say to myself when I'm preparing a sermon, Jeff Owens, you don't let the devil, you don't let anything else stop you. You've got to prepare a sermon that will change the lives of God's people. You've got to prepare a sermon that will help turn a country back to God. You've got to prepare a sermon that will bring revival. It'll save a marriage. It'll save a child. It'll do something special. You prepare a sermon that the Holy Spirit of God can control, and you'll see His evidence, and you've got to lock into it. You've got to lock into it. You've got to want it. You've got to say to your mind, you're not going to wonder. You're not going to stray. I am going to control you with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm going to get done what my mind needs to get done. Control your thinking.
Yes, sir.
There is no place that discipline and character are more important than in the thought life. Some of you that you're never on time, you probably have a terrible time with your thought life too. Some of you that struggle with all the poor character traits of life, you probably have a terrible problem inside your own brain.
You won't lock into concentration. And young people, look up here at Brother Owens. Learn how to study and concentrate and zero in on your English so you can pass your English class. Learn how to do that. You can control your mind. You say, Brother Owens, how? Once you get closer to the Holy Spirit of God and say, Holy Spirit of God, I surrender my mind to you. Holy Spirit of God, I want to pass my classes. You and I will zero in. Hey, you won't zero in with a TV playing while you're studying. You won't zero in while you're listening to some music or playing some video game. If you wanted to do better, you could if you'd just control your mind. And you can. You can. Someone said, you are what you eat. That's why I never eat rump roast. No, you are what you think. You are what you think. To become your own best friend, you and the Holy Spirit together, you control your thoughts. Next, to become your own best friend, you need to choose how you sleep. You need to decide when you're going to go to bed and decide when you need to get up and do it. And do it. Don't let your appetite for sleep control you. Now, everybody here will have to sleep something different in regard to hours. I know a person that's in this building, they must have many, many hours of sleep. They're very sick. I believe that. And they need to sleep a certain number of hours. But too many of us sleep productive hours of our life away because we let our body determine when we sleep instead of our spiritual mind. I hate going to sleep. I hate it. I hate it. Ms. Owens will hear me say, if I go to sleep, I'm going to waste the next 4 or 5 hours. You say, I don't feel that way. Listen, I happen to believe there's a heaven. I happen to believe I may live 75 or 80 years down here. When I get to glory, it'll all be behind me. I've got one life, and I've only got one to serve Him. I want to serve Him. I want to get everything out of it that I can. And the reason why some of you are not more successful is because you sleep too much. Now, there's some of you need a little more sleep. You don't function well because you don't sleep right. You need to figure out how much sleep your body needs and give it that amount. No more, no less. You need to take control of your life. How? Figure out how much sleep it takes to sleep that much. Then use the rest of your life productively.
Yes, sir.
Let me move on. I think you need, if you want to become your own best friend, you need to choose, with the Holy Spirit's help, when you play. Hey, there's nothing wrong with play. Recreation. There are people here, you need some recreation. You need to go out and calm down a little bit. Relax. You wouldn't be so hard on your wife or wouldn't be so hard on your husband if you get a little relax time. But we should not just play all the time. We need to play when we need to play. There will come a point in your life and you say, I've got to have a little relax time and I'm going to go get it. It'll help to unwind me. Sometimes I play because others need me to play. Dad, you may need to play because your kids need you to play for a little while. But that is on purpose, and it is a spiritual thing. I do not let my bow determine when I go hunting. I let what's best for my life determine when I go hunting. To be your own best friend, you're going to have to learn to say no to yourself about some things. There are people here, you play, but you can't pay your bills. You play too much. You can pay your bills if you work. Let's go on. To become your own best friend, you need to choose your successes in life.
Well, that's good.
You need to choose your successes in life. You get up close to the Holy Spirit of God. You stay best friends with Him. You go everywhere with Him. You think about Him all day long. You consult with Him about everything. And He will help you to become your own best friend. You need to take charge of your successes. Let me show you what I mean. If you have a good day, at the end of the day, look at it. You say, wow, I just had a great day. And here's what you do. Take out a piece of paper. Analyze what happened during the day. Write it down. And do it again. Is that complicated? You know what, a long time ago, I figured out what makes a church service exciting. I decided I'm going to write her down. I'm going to try it again, and it worked again.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I'm going to try that again, and it worked again. Hey, you men that preach, if you ever preach a good sermon, when you get done, figure out why. And do it again.
Yes.
Boy, isn't that deep biblical truth?
Yes.
Wow. Did you have a good activity with your Sunday school class or with your bus route? Did you have a great family night with the family? You say, boy, it was spiritual, it was decent, but it was fun. Hey, why don't you figure out what you did and try doing something like it again? I remember hearing Brother Hiles as I was growing up under his ministry concerning a successful church. I don't know how many times I heard him say, don't change the winning lineup. Don't fix what's not broken, over and over and over again. I heard him say, if it's running fine, don't tamper with it. And what some of you need to do is you need to look at your life and say, you know what? Things are going fine. Things are just fantastic. Hey, then whatever you're doing, hey, it must be going right. I keep doing it. Well, but the only time I think about going up the road to another church. Is your life all falling apart? Is everything just trashy? Can you not just stay in the church because the spirit's bad? Or you say, no, it's great. Gotta be careful, change your winning lineup.
Well, that's good.
Some of you need to become your own best friend. You say, how do I accomplish that? Well, first thing you do is you go to the Holy Spirit. He knows all about you. He knows all about God. And He is the connection between you and the will of God. And if you want to become your own best friend, you and the Holy Spirit make all the decisions together. You and the Holy Spirit together, you decide what will influence you. You decide who will influence you. You decide what you're going to do. You decide when you're going to do it. You decide what you're going to read. You decide what you're going to see. You decide how you're going to control your emotions. You decide what you're going to think. You decide when you're going to sleep. You decide when or what you're going to play. You choose what you're going to be a success at. You know something? You become your own best friend. You will suddenly be helping yourself instead of hindering yourself. I started this sermon and I said, we need to quit betraying ourselves. Quit lying to ourselves. Quit babying ourselves. Quit misleading ourselves. Nehemiah, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse number 7, he said, then I consulted with myself. Nehemiah, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, turned to himself and said, this is right, and I'm going to do right. And he did, and it turned out in a wonderful way. A wonderful way. So you know about the wall that they were building? They rebuilt it. Got the job done. I beg of you, become your own best friend. But if you don't get point number one, the rest of it's a waste. You must become best friends with the Holy Spirit of God so that you then in turn can turn around and be a trustworthy friend to yourself. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.